The FDA this week gave full approval to the COVID-19 vaccine from Pfizer and BioNTech. It had previously been given emergency authorizations for vaccinating people. Meanwhile, only about half of Wisconsin's population is fully vaccinated, and COVID-19 deaths and new cases are the highest they've been since about the beginning of this year when vaccines weren't widely available yet. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you just recently been vaccinated? What was the experience like? What led you to do it now if you'd been putting it off? Is the full regular approval now of one of the vaccines a game changer, you think, for you or maybe someone you know who's been hesitant under the emergency authorization? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. William Hartman is an anesthesiologist at UW Health and an assistant professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He's medical director for the UW Health Pre-Anesthesia Assessment Clinic. Dr. Hartman, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
What does this full approval of the Pfizer vaccine mean? What goes into this process of this regular authorization now?
So to get full approval, it really brings the evaluation process to a much larger scale. And so when emergency use authorization was permitted for Pfizer and for Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, they looked at the clinical trials, so about 40,000 people per trial, and were able to assess the data for the first month, 2 months of that trial to determine safety and efficacy. Now they've had full 6 month follow-up data to look at for safety and efficacy. Plus they can open it up and look at any of the data from the millions, if not billions of people that have been inoculated worldwide to assess safety and efficacy, make sure that it remains consistent throughout the different parts of the world and as exposure to different variants has occurred. What they've seen is that with the Pfizer vaccine, it's still about 91% effective in preventing COVID infection, despite all these variants, despite being different places in the world. That's an excellent, excellent vaccine. And it's without question, was an easy decision, I believe, for the FDA to give it full approval.
Now, one response I've seen is, what took so long? Why did the FDA take this much time to give this regular approval? Is that just how this process works?
Well, usually it takes a while longer, actually. This was an expedited review that the FDA did for Pfizer. And so the fact that they were able to devote so much manpower and so many resources to looking at just this vaccine allowed the process to actually move more quickly than how it normally would. Typically, the process takes at least 10 months after years-long trials of vaccines or medicines. And so while it does seem, especially in the middle of a pandemic, that things take a long time to happen, it happened as expeditiously as it probably could.
And the opposite response I've heard, too, especially from those skeptical of the vaccine promotion effort in general, including Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, is, hey, wait, this was rushed. Should we worry that the process took a little longer than the normal process, or took a little less time, I should say, than the process would usually take?
No, because, you know, as someone who's participated in these clinical trials too, I know the scrutiny that went into these. And as the trials for these vaccines occurred, we still used the same number of participants that we would have if it was a 3-year trial. We just didn't have the time period to do that. And so we had the same amount of people. We devoted more resources so that we could collect the data and get it interpreted more quickly. But no corners were cut. These were very, very solid clinical trials. And I think people should have every confidence in these vaccines.
One big question now as we go back to school is there's still a big population that can't get any vaccines, 12 and under kids. You are actually working, I understand, on one of the vaccine trials for the 12 and unders. What is different about that process? Why are we taking longer to be sure we can use this for kids?
So the kids... Initially, the trials have to focus on finding what's the right dose of the vaccine to give the children. And that takes some time because you scale it down from the adult dose and find you have to figure out, what the maximum effect is with the most minimum dose to give to a child. And so that takes some time to wade through those issues. Those both for Pfizer and Moderna are still ongoing to some extent, but at least for the 5-year-old or 6-year-old to 12-year-old group, they seem to have settled on doses, and it's allowed us to now move into efficacy and safety trials of these vaccines in this age group of 6 to 12-year-olds. And so hopefully we'll have that data assembled within the next month and a half or 2 months so that it can be interpreted and we can have shots going into kids' arms sometime around mid-December.
We're talking about the latest COVID-19 news, especially related to vaccines, with Dr. William Hartman, anesthesiologist at UW Health, assistant professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the latest vaccine news? Now the regular standard approval of the Pfizer vaccine, part of that, vaccines for kids. What precautions are you taking out there, whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated? And do you see this full approval maybe nudging vaccine acceptance in your community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Dr. William Hartman, anesthesiologist at UW Health, assistant professor at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. We're looking at FDA full approval for the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, the latest in case numbers and new vaccine trials. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions and comments. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Daryl is with us in Germantown. Daryl, hi.
Hello. I just wanted to say that for me, I already got vaccinated a long time ago, and I had no adverse effects except for a sore arm for a few hours. And it's just very frustrating to hear over and over again that people are so skeptical about getting something that's good for them. And it's also very frustrating to hear people like Ron Johnson out there with these false narratives about the danger of the vaccine. He would do the state a lot of good if he resigned from office, because he really needs some mental help.
Daryl, thanks for the call. Dr. Hartman, I want to steer into the politics here, but as we heard in our feature earlier, there are a lot of different reasons that people haven't gotten vaccines yet, from being skeptical or opposed to them to access and convenience. Can you talk about what you see as the key to getting more vaccines out there to people?
Well, I do think that one of the keys was to get full approval for the vaccines. In a recent Kaiser Family Foundation poll, 30% of unvaccinated people said that the reason that they were still hesitant or resistant to the vaccine was that it still hadn't been given full approval by the FDA. So that's been done now. And so these people are green-lighted then to go ahead and get that vaccine into their arm. In terms of, you know, other things that other pressures that people are under in terms of getting the vaccine, you know, it's really two pandemics right now, the pandemic of the unvaccinated and pandemic caused by misinformation. And so we're just doing our best to get as accurate and as good of information out there to everybody so that people have access to really make the best decisions for themselves. Obviously, we feel that the best decision for anybody is to get vaccinated, because that prevents you from getting a severe disease, hospitalization, and death from COVID-19.
And I wonder if the mental calculus has changed for people with the Delta variant, Dr. Hartman. Just earlier this year, numbers so far down, hospitalizations so far down, people might have thought, we're out of the woods now. If I hadn't gotten vaccinated, maybe I don't need to now. Do you think that Delta is maybe, and the hospitalizations we're seeing in so many states now, that that's turning up the urgency for people again?
I think so. And it's unfortunate that it has to come to a variant like this that to cause people to go and get that vaccine. But even in Wisconsin, the most recent numbers, you know, 1,417 new confirmed COVID-19 cases, 7 new deaths here in Wisconsin in the last day. And so the numbers continue to go up at levels that we haven't seen since January. And that's solely because of this highly transmissible form of COVID-19 known as the Delta variant. You know, as things opened up a little bit and people loosened their masks and the restrictions in the towns, which is good. People needed a break, I think, for a while, but it's time now that we sort of buckle things back up a little bit, especially within our own homes, so that we can get past this Delta variant. In the meantime, get people vaccinated as much as possible so that we can really put this virus in the rearview mirror.
Go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Dave is on the line in Onalaska. Dave, hi.
Hi. Personally, I'm just amazed at people from my generation. I'm in my mid-60s and older that are skeptical of it. And how can they not remember all the diseases that were around when we were kids that, you know, we kind of took for granted back then, but, you know, there wasn't any cure. And then when there was, you know, we don't see scarlet fever or so many of those diseases anymore that used to be here. And I guess that's what I wanted to say. It just amazes me that the general public can think that they're so smart. I mean, do you grill your surgeon before give him a test before he does surgery on you? You got to have some faith in the system.
Dave, thanks for the call. And do you, Dr. Hartman, point toward the past success of smallpox inoculation, which actually eliminated that disease, polio vaccinations, and other successful campaigns?
Well, you have to look at those and see that vaccines worked, and vaccines came about because there were dangerous viruses that were hurting and killing people. That's the same thing that's happening here. I think one of the big differences between now and then is the presence of social media and the ease with which misinformation can spread and how quickly it can spread. And then it becomes very difficult to contain and very difficult to contest. People, you know, who put out some of these misinformation campaigns, they are very convincing. And I found myself even looking things up sometimes. And so I can understand why people would be swayed by these misinformation campaigns. But the fact of the matter is, as a person who's been in this fight, as a person who's been in the middle of these trials with a couple of vaccines now, these are safe, these are effective, and these are the best way to keep you out of harm's way from COVID-19.
Thanks for that call. And Dr. Hartman, one success story, vaccination of people 65 and up. I can't remember the total rate for Wisconsin, but there are some counties where they're reporting 99% vaccine rates for people 65 and up. In many ways, we've gotten the message to the people who are the most vulnerable, right?
And that was initially the entire goal, was to protect the most vulnerable people in our society. And I think that we did do a very good job of that in nationwide, but especially here in Wisconsin. And I know that people in nursing homes work tirelessly to make sure that their residents were protected, because no one wanted to see another person pass away from this virus. And, you know, the images that came out of Italy and New York and Seattle early in this pandemic, they scared people, but they also motivated people. I hope we never have to look at those types of images again. I hope that these surges now don't result in deaths like what we saw earlier in the pandemic. But I do hope that people truly take it seriously. This pandemic is not over. This virus is still a killer. It's still infecting way too many people. And again, the best way to protect yourself is to get this vaccine in your arm.
Time for one more caller. Abby is with us in East Troy. Abby, hi.
Hi. Hi. I've got a question about the FDA approval process. You mentioned earlier about the 3 years that a normal FDA approval takes. And I'm curious to know how the long-term effects of the vaccine were studied, and if they weren't, how that justification comes through then with the approval anyways.
Abby, thanks for the call. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Dr. Hartman, can you expand on that a little?
So typically the clinical trials themselves are what take the amount of time. Usually to get a 40,000 participant trial, it would take 3 years to recruit into that. And so it takes that much time to get enough participants and enough of a sample size of people so that we can study efficacy and safety. Here, we were able to recruit people much more quickly than really ever before. There was a bunch of heroes that raised their hand and were first in line so that they could test and make sure that these vaccines do work and that they are safe. And the platforms on which these vaccines have been made, both the mRNA and the adenovirus vaccines, these aren't brand new. They've been around 10, 15 years, and they've been studied in other entities. So the only thing that changes in these vaccines really is the, you know, taking out whatever they were making a vaccine for before and putting in the spike protein for the coronavirus. And so these, in terms of long-term studies, in terms of the vectors that have been used, and we have that data. We know that this is a safe process. No, of course, you know, this virus has only been around for 2 years, so we don't have long-term data on these particular vaccines. But what we do know is how they work, and we do know that the safety profile in billions of people worldwide continues to be remarkable.
Dr. Hartman, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. William Hartman is an anesthesiologist at UW Health and an assistant professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He works on vaccine trials also. We talked to him today about some of the latest national and state pandemic news, including full FDA approval of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine.